There is one who is not only willing to speak peace and blessing in all the intimacy that a whisper conveys, but he is able to do so as well. I wish to talk to you today about the divine ability for your every need. The authority and power that speaks with assurance for your faith to lay hold upon is nothing less than the word of the ever-living God. He spoke in times past through prophets. He spoke in his Son, the eternal Word, for such is one of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was here, he was called the Word of God. But now he speaks through the written revelation of himself as found in the Bible, which is indeed the Word of God. The book that does not only contain the Word of God, but it is the Word of God. I wish to turn to several passages today which bring before us his ability for your need. The first will be found in Jeremiah chapter 32. If you have your Bible, will you get it, please? I read from verse 26 and 27. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? The Lord asks this question. He asks that you reflect upon it for a moment. Is there anything too hard for me? He asks. Do you know this blessed one who speaks? If you have an acquaintance with him and know him as your Savior God, you know that the answer to that is, no, there is nothing too hard for thee. For he is the God of all flesh. He is the Creator. In the same chapter, Jeremiah himself speaks from experience and also as inspired by the Spirit of God to give answer to this same question, is there anything too hard for me? Here's his answer. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. What a grand answer that is. And that is the word of God. It is something that we want you to lay hold upon. And it is what God would desire that we should consider and bring into effect into every difficulty, problem, detail of our life. There is nothing too hard for thee. In the New Testament, we read in Matthew 19, with God, all things are possible. And you recall in Job, toward the end of the book, after Job had gone through quite an experience, he finally said, I know that thou, referring to God, canst do anything. There is, however, one thing that God cannot do. We find it in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. We read that God cannot lie. Oh, what a grand thing this is. And beloved listener, think of that as we turn to Scripture today. That what God speaks, he speaks truth. And it is for you to lay hold upon by faith what he says and be blessed. He can indeed do anything. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 7, we notice in verse 25 what God can do, which we consider first of all. Wherefore, verse 25, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The scripture here refers to our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is now in the glory, having been to the cross and finished the work of redemption, having shed his precious blood to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and having been raised from the dead the third day for our justification, and having ascended to the heavens where he is as our high priest and advocate, notice him there, living in the glory, as the one who is able to save to the uttermost, or right on to the end, those that come unto God by him. Let me ask you today, have you come to God through Jesus Christ? If you have not come to God through Jesus Christ, you have not come to God at all. There is no way to come to God apart from Jesus Christ. He himself, that is the Lord Jesus, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But you can approach a holy God, a God who knows all your sin and who hates sin. You can approach him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty that your sins deserved. Have you come to him? Coming to him is believing on him. It's trusting him. It's adhering to him and his work. It's relying upon his word. Have you come to him? Oh, do you not feel your need? Do you not realize that as a sinner, you are lost and undone? Then if you continue this way in your sin and die in your sin, you shall perish forever. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is able to save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, we read. And if you come to God in simple faith, in repentance for your sin, and trusting Christ as the one who died in your room instead, he is able to save you right on to the end. What a God we have! What a Savior! Let him save you. It amounts to that. Trusting him, believing in his ability to save, and availing yourself of it will bring you salvation's blessing. But someone might say, well, you know, I do believe that Jesus is the Savior and that I trust him, but I fear that maybe I cannot hold on and maybe I will be lost after all. I direct you to one scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. The apostle, writing by inspiration of the Spirit of God, says, For the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, do you notice here that our blessed Savior is also the keeper? Salvation is his work, the keeping is his work. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to be converted, and he knew that the same one who converted him is the one who keeps him and keeps you and me. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Have you committed your soul salvation to him? It's in his keeping, dear friend. And he says himself in other scriptures, I give unto them, referring to his sheep, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Will you not rest upon the declaration of Scripture in regards to your eternal salvation? He is not only able to save, but he is able to keep that which you commit unto him against that day. Dear listener, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. In our life here, we are faced constantly with various circumstances and trials and difficulties. And how grand it is to know that each of us who has the Lord Jesus as a Savior and a keeper can also count upon him as our helper. In Hebrews chapter 2, we read our third scripture, verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tried, which is the word here, he is able to succor or help them that are tried. Yes, you know what it is to be tried. Perhaps you are going through a trying circumstance now, and you would like some help. Oh, how good to know that the one who saves your soul, the Lord Jesus Christ, is able to help you. He's able to sympathize. He's able to bring his power to meet your need. He is able to help. It's not a vain promise here. It is real. He himself lives in the glory. He knows all what sorest trials mean, for he has felt the same. And through the power of the Spirit of God, whom he sent into this world to be the other comforter, he ministers to your need. Will you not avail yourself of him? Why go on without a helper, when you may have one in our Lord Jesus Christ? For he is able, and again I say, he is willing, oh so willing. Faith brings his ability into action. Count upon his promise. He will give you the blessing and the help that you need. Next, we notice another thing. Very often we are brought into situations that seem impossible. Circumstances that are so trying, and humanly speaking we say, it is impossible. It's difficult. I don't know what to do. Well, we have another promise in the Word of God. And here the whisper of the Savior comes, the still small voice of the Word of God, for faith to rest upon. In Ephesians 3 we read, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." You are not able to do. You got mountains that you can't cross. You got difficulties that you can't solve. But faith's eye turns to the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The power that works in the born-again believer is the Holy Spirit of God, and Christ our intercessor in the glory, who knows our need, who is able to help. He is able to do far more than we could ever ask or think. Do you know this one? Oh, lay hold upon him if you do. Trust him. And if you do not know him, may you turn to him today and find out that he is longing to do for you more than what you are able to even think. This is the treasury of heaven that's open for you. This is the resource that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ for faith's key to unlock. Perhaps I'm talking today to one who is going through real trial of sickness, and you are feeling the stress of the way, perhaps some aged one. Perhaps my voice is being heard by someone on a sick bed in a hospital. To you, I ask that you turn your faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like to present what the Word of God gives us for faith's hope and blessing and encouragement and prospect that we have. In verse 20 we read, "Our conversation is in heaven, or citizenship, such as the thought is. For everyone who is saved is a citizen of heaven." He's born of God. "Now our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our hope, the one who is our Savior, our keeper, our helper, the one who is able to perform exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, is the one for whom we look. He is our hope. He is the one that is going to shortly appear. He's going to come with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall be raised first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." We look for the Savior. Do you? If you know him as a Savior who died for your sins and have trusted him, this is your hope too. We look for him. And what is going to happen? Why, it tells us, "Who shall change our vile or body of humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." We're going to have a body such as he has. A body of flesh and bones that is fitted for spiritual conditions, fitted for heavenly realms. This is our hope. This is what we have to look forward to. This body of clay, subject to sickness and death, is going to be changed. And we're going to be with him and like him when we see him as he is. This is our hope and our prospect. Some might say, well, how can this take place? We read, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. This is the God of ability. This is the God of power. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to raise the bodies of the sleeping saints and change them. He's able to change the body of the living saints. This corruption will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. He is able to do this. This is our Savior. Is he yours? I think that I should, in closing, just refer to two other scriptures briefly, which give us further thought, and especially in regards to anyone who does not know him, as a warning. Back in Daniel 4:37, we read the words of a king, Nebuchadnezzar, who knew what it was to be abased. And he himself, after his experience of being humbled because of pride, his heart was lifted up against the God of heaven. He was brought low, and he himself in his testimony says, he is able to abase those that are lifted up with pride. Have you ever bowed your knee to Christ? God grant that you will see that if you do not, Christ is able to abase you. And then there's one more scripture in Matthew 10 where the Lord himself says, we are not to fear those who are able to kill the body, but to fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Beloved listener, the Savior who could be and would be yours, he's willing, who is able to save you, unless you trust him, he is able to cast you from his presence in hell forever. Think of it. But this need not be so. The voice of Jesus calling in his word, asking that you trust him, can lead you to put your trust in him. Will you do so now? Will you let his voice speak to you and draw you in faith to him? God grant that you shall.